There ain't nobody here but us chicken. There ain't nobody here at all. You stomping around, causing a fuss.
Thanks for sticking with us. And if you're just joining us again, we've got Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm and Kari Spencer of the Micro Farm Project, two local urban farmers here in Arizona that are joining us to help educate and inspire you to grow your own, whether it's food. But today we're talking livestock, backyard livestock. And Farmer Greg, you had mentioned in the last segment about, maybe it was Kari, roosters aren't allowed. Why is that? And then there's a couple myths about roosters you wanted to address, because you say it's the most common question you get asked when talking about chickens.
Yeah, so the two myths that I like to bust around chickens. Number one is roosters crow at sunrise. Not at all. Roosters crow 24/7. And you can actually...
It's just most annoying at sunrise.
Exactly. Well, unless it's at 2 o'clock in the morning, which they do. And the other myth about roosters is that you actually need a rooster to get eggs. You need a rooster to get chicks. You don't need a rooster to get eggs. So you can have a whole flock of hens and never have a rooster around, and you can get a nice supply of eggs.
And you would just have to rebuy new hens as they aged out. And that's what we've done. Having a rooster is a pain in the neck. We're not in an area where we have any restrictions on them. But I ordered of 2 dozen Buckeyes. Heirloom breed of chicken, and the grower was out of California, but it was a small farm, and they didn't have any kind, what they call sexting. There's no guarantee that these are all female male. You get what you get. Out of the 2 dozen, we ended up with 4 hens. So that means we had 20 roosters.
Wow.
That was a nightmare. We didn't eat chicken for like 4 or 5 months after that. And they get mean. They're just not worth having around.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I just looked them up on Google, though. They say Buckeyes are friendly and easygoing.
The hens are, not the roosters.
Yeah. But not the roosters, right.
There you go. So let's stumble our way into goats. I know Kari has kept goats before. I never have. What do goats bring to the party, Kari?
Well, milk. And with milk, you can make cheese and all kinds of things. There are people who are allergic to cow's milk, and many of them can tolerate goat milk because, you know, some of the proteins are different in it. Also, you know, people are looking for unpasteurized milk these days, and if you milk your own goats, then you have that unpasteurized milk that you know exactly where it came from. You don't have to worry that it might make you sick because you know that you've handled it correctly.
I have to tell you, the one place I miss in Arizona is a place called Fossil Creek Farms. It's near the Fossil Creek Wilderness area. And they were famous for making fudge with goat's milk.
Oh, yes.
It was delicious, creamy, and I would just, after my hike down the wilderness area, I would go pick up about 2 or 3 pounds of it. And, and you walk out, and the goats are sitting there in the pen, and they're smiling at you.
So, but the thing with goats, though, is they need to be milked every day, right?
It's a big commitment. But there's a lot more with the milk. When we were doing it, Amanda was making soaps and lotions. I had learned how to make cheese. That's a very fascinating process. I had fresh milk every single morning. And something that came up is, you know, we actually ended up with a couple of our friends that had just recently had a baby, and for whatever reason, the moms weren't able to produce enough milk. Well, there's a certain element of just going to the store and buying 2% that you don't want that for your baby. So we actually had a couple nursing mothers regularly coming to pick up milk.
Oh, wow.
But every single morning I was out there.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And what else do goats bring to the game, Kari?
Fertilizer.
Yeah, lots of it.
Yeah, you know, goat poop is one of those fertilizers that you can put directly on your garden at the beginning of a growing season, and it'll break down slowly over time. You don't want to put it on maybe right before you're going to harvest. You might maybe compost it first at that point, but it's great. It is great for your garden. And even the, you know, they eat hay, and they'll waste some of that hay, and that's great to put in your compost pile. It's wonderful for the compost pile.
They'll eat hay. So they'll eat bark. They'll eat your flowers. They'll eat your lawn. They'll eat the leaves off your trees.
They'll eat the bark off the trees.
Oh, we've lost several trees to being stripped by the bark being stripped from goats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We had a Palo Verde tree that was just outside our pen, and the side that hung over to the goats was pretty bare because they would eat that with thorns and all. I don't know how they did that, but yeah, they eat everything.
And
so let's.
But they eat everything, but the cost to feed them compared to what you get, I'd have to say the food intake ratio to the productiveness, they're one of the most efficient animals out there.
They are very efficient. And like you mentioned, if you're making cheese and soap and, you know, getting all these things out of the milk that you are getting from that animal, then it's a lot more cost effective than if you just are keeping a goat as a pet and feeding it. That's for sure. You know.
Yeah. Now, just like we were talking about the roosters, well, we've got to talk about the billy goat side of goats as well.
Oh, yeah. We had a buck. His name was Casanova. Yes. And he was just a delight, but he smelled so bad. And they do. They smell pretty bad. So if you have a small property, maybe you don't want one in your backyard. And also, some people have said that if they keep their buck near their milk goats, that it can taint the flavor of the milk. I didn't notice that, but a lot of people do say that.
I could believe that because they are stinky. But here's the thing: to get milk, the goat has to have a baby, and then you gradually wean the baby off of the mom, and you keep milking the mom. And as long as you keep milking her, she'll keep producing. So you have to have at least one kid to get started on milking.
That's right, but you know the stud doesn't need to live with you. Necessarily. Yeah, and there are people who rent out their buck services. If you're interested in goats and you want to know about that, I would ask around in your urban farm community and find out who can provide that service.
And the urban farm community, you know, obviously we've got Kari Spencer's a great resource. Greg Peterson's a great resource. But Greg, you had mentioned Western Ranchman. Well, I would just tell anybody, go to their local feed shop wherever you are. And, I mean, that's your first start of getting immersed in your local community. And a lot of them will have bulletins and, you know, boards that you can paste wanted signs or offer service.
Yeah, and be careful. There are Facebook pages for all of these topics. But one of the things that I noticed on the Facebook pages is that, and how do I say this kindly? There's a whole lot of misinformation that gets handed out. So if you are asking, questions on Facebook pages, you have to consider the source and make sure that you vet whatever they're telling you. I just, you know, I look at some of these Facebook pages and I just shake my head. It's like, hold on, I'm the fruit tree guy, right? So I'm on fruit tree Facebook pages all the time. And I'm just, more often than not, I'm shaking my head saying, yep, that is never going to work. So, yes, start with your local feed shop. That's where I would start.
And what are some of your favorite types of goat breeds, Kari? What have you had over the course of the years?
My favorite is the Nigerian Minis because they're so darn cute. And they don't make as much milk, but they're smaller goats. So if you have a smaller space, they might be a good option. However, there are goats that will produce a lot more, like the Nubian goats that we have, a lot of people have here. But what do you have, Romy?
We had La Mancha when we were milking.
Mm-hmm.
Really tiny ears. And the kids always wanted the smaller Minis because they're so much more playful.
Mm, right.
That's true. And they don't look as funny.
No.
La Manchas look kind of funny.
They do. But man, they were incredible producers. Between the two of them, I would get a gallon a day. And like I said, it was more than we could keep up with. And the reason we're not anymore is, like you said, you've got to continue milking them or they dry up. We were gone for 4 days. No more milk. And we just never went back through the process of rebirthing them and having kids again and getting all started over.
Why not? Kids are awfully cute.
There you go.
Go kids. Yeah, well, and at that time we had 2 horses, not 10, and we had 2 kids, not 4. So that's a big part of the time allocation. Exactly. At some point we'll come back around to being able to bring goat kids back and getting milked again, but it's just not the top priority right now.
When your human kids are big enough to be able to manage it for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When the human kids can manage the goat kids.
So somebody wants to... Go ahead, Kari.
Oh, I was going to say, my kids, when they were home, they were great helpers. They learned to milk, do all that, all the farm stuff.
Yeah. So for goats, if somebody wanted to get goats, what are the top 3 things you need to make sure that they have?
You need to have strong fencing.
Number one.
Yeah, they can get out and they spend all day when they're not eating looking for a way to get out of the pen, right? So make sure that those gates are strong. They can climb, they can break chicken wire, and they can climb different kinds of fence. So make sure you've got a welded wire fence that has really small squares so they can't get their hooves in there. You want to make sure that they have some sort of shelter so that they can get out of the rain or, when it's cold, maybe they need to go inside that shelter. We just use dog loose for our goats.
Oh,
they would
right.
go in, but, they're a smaller breed, so they could get in there pretty well. They need food, and I recommend that you have feeders that are up off the ground because they really don't like to eat food once it's fallen on the ground. So goats will eat anything except the hay you buy that ends up on the ground for some reason.
All right. One more segment with Kari Spencer and Greg Peterson coming up.